You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
He is calling us, and he constantly reminds us, it's not us, it's him. So before we get too good for other people, too good to fellowship with them, too good to call them, too good to hang out with them, too good to sit at the same table in the fellowship hall with them, too good to ask them to come back to church because we hope they don't come back because of the way they look, smell, or think, or act. Before we get too high and mighty, maybe we need to get in the altar and repent of our dirty, rotten attitudes if we ever get that way.
Our churches are filled with broken, imperfect people, and sometimes we simply don't want to go up and talk to someone. Today, Pastor Gary reminds us that we can all be tempted to judge others by what they wear, how they smell, how they talk, or their socioeconomic status. He encourages us to ask God for forgiveness before settling into a judgmental attitude, and to respond instead with welcoming, loving, and friendly actions. By changing, we may even encourage someone else to do the same. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 as he continues his message, Called.
Wherefore, come out from among them, the Bible says, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So here's your key thought on this point. Calling always involves separation before alignment. Oh, God's going to pull you out of some things. God's going to teach you how to lay aside some of those, all of those eventually, those propensities of the flesh that so go against the grain of God's will for your life. And he's going to call you out. He's going to ask you to live separate from those things, those sins and those things which do so easily beset us. He's calling us out. Have you heeded the call to live a separated life unto the Lord? Or are you entangled in the affairs of this life? The Bible teaches that a good soldier cannot be entangled with the affairs of this life. You must understand that you receive your orders from the one who bought and paid for you with his own blood, and he needs to be the one commander in chief in your life and none other. Have you heeded that call? Or are you, God forbid, straddling the fence, trying to live in the world and trying to live in the church and trying to have the best of both worlds, living a life, the slippery slope of compromise. No power with God, no power in prayer, but at least you got your mask and you got us all convinced that you're walking close to Jesus. But God knows what you're doing on Saturday night late or Monday morning, amen, when you get so mad and you have to get to cussing because you was exhausted and tired. Hey, none of us in here, of course, none of us, amen. But you know what I'm talking about. This old flesh likes to just respond to ails and aches and frustrations, and next thing you know, we're running at the mouth like dying. Instead of giving glory and honor and praise to the one who called us to live a separated life unto him. And he called us to give glory and honor to him. The Bible says, and whatsoever you, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, that includes talking. Whatsoever you do, that includes anything. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Question, was your last conversation before you got to church, was it glorifying God or was it tearing someone down? Oh, he's calling us to be separate, different, distinct, unique, peculiar, not to do the way of the world. That's the way of the world. They bite and devour one another so they consume one another. Not us. We are called to a higher purpose, to give glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. He wants to fix that in us. He wants to us to attach ourselves and to be founded upon this rock, Jesus Christ, who is righteousness in and of himself. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible said, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country. This is the problem with many Christians today. They have not yet left their country. Brother Chris, they're still trying to hold on to their kingdom, their will, their desires, their agendas, their plans, and they refuse to allow the kingdom to interrupt their schedule and inconvenience them. And we demand of the Lord that He establish His kingdom within our comfort zones and our convenient schedules, or do not mess with us. And God forbid, we owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. He said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. We must be willing to walk away from anything and everything familiar or comfortable to us, if so be that we might give God glory and honor in our lives. This is the establishment He wants to put in our heart so that we will say, yes, Lord. We will say, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever is familiar, but whatever is in your way, Lord, just let me let it go. Let me just humble myself before you and say, you're king. Let me open up my gates that I've barred you out with and open them up and say, come on in, Lord. It's time for you to do something because I done messed it up. Can somebody say amen to that? We need to leave our country and leave our kindred. All the things we're familiar with and that we hold on to, and say, Lord, this is your will. Show me what you want. Speak, Lord, thy servant here. So the application then is this. What is God calling you out of? What must your home, Daddy, separate from? Mama, church, what have we possibly tolerated that God has called us out of? God does not just call us out of something, however. He also calls us into something. So we see that we were called out, but number two, I want to show you that we are called unto something. It's not just what you lose. I'm telling you, it's a good trade-off. Amen. It's what you gain. Whosoever loseth his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall find it. Quit worrying about the loss, because if you could just trust the Lord, you'll find out that what He has in store for you is so much better than anything that you could secure for yourself. 1 Peter 5:10 again, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, he's taken us somewhere. He's taken us to that place of being established, that place of being settled in our spirit, our heart, our mind, our commitment to Christ and to His kingdom and to His church. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Did you know that God didn't pick you out because He saw something in you that He needed? You say, well, God picked me because I'm so talented. Wrong. He's got 1,000 more that could do 10 times better than you. He said He did it for His own purposes. You may think He needs your giftedness. He may not even use it. Now, we like to fit people with their giftedness, and there's some worldly wisdom in that, but you know, sometimes God will put your gift on the shelf and work on something deeper and more important to Him. He will. So now, I know what you want to do, but we got to get you settled first. Now, we may use that later, but right now, first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His, what? His righteousness. Got to work on that heart. Then all these things shall be added unto you. The glory must come in before the trust comes on. Amen. And our calling is not an escape from the world, but it is an entrance into God's purpose to change this world. Did you hear that? The calling is not to give us an escape from the world. He said, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest deliver them from the evil there. Why does He want to keep us in the world until the trumpet sound? Well, because we're to be salt and light. There's still people going to hell in our neighborhood, right across the street from us, maybe on the same side of the road, in our family. And what are we doing to tell them of the good news? What are we doing to try to get them to the house of God, to get them under the preaching of the gospel? What are we doing? Or are we just sleeping the days on by and watching the world pass by and drop off in the hill, not putting up a road sign or a warning or anything? He is calling us to His purposes. Say, I got to make a living. Yeah, Well, you got to make a living, but they got to live for eternity too. You worried about your temporal life. What about their eternal life in hell? What we got to do is we got to take our agenda to God and say, now, God, how can I surrender this agenda to you to give you maximum glory, and then let the Lord guide us on how to do that? I'm talking about living a separated life. Now, this is the kind of preaching that thins out the crowds. When you start expecting something of the Laodicean church age, you can mark my words, they more will leave than attend and show up and commit, because we're living in an age where they want convenience and comfort, and they don't want to be challenged and they don't want to be convicted. But let me tell you, there's still a world that needs a Savior, and we are sent to be their messengers, and we ought to say, God, forgive us for being so calloused and cold and indifferent that we put your agenda of winning souls aside and put our own agenda in right front and center, and we have assumed the throne of our hearts and ignored the voice of the Holy Ghost. And if you want to have revival, church, we're going to have to begin to be attentive to and sensitive to the tender voice of the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to save your family. He wants to save your neighbors. He wants to save Thompson, Georgia. What are we doing about it? We've got the best news known to mankind, and yet we sit here and we go home and we come back and we go home and we're getting fat off the bread of life while the rest of the community is starving. I'm not saying nobody in here is soul winners. I'm just preaching in general, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Oh, God, forgive me. Help me, oh, Lord, to be a sower of the seed of God's word. Amen. Take them cards in the back and start putting them, lacing them all over the countryside. They got the gospel in them. Every page has an invite for them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Wake up, church. We got a world to win to Jesus. Amen. This is God's agenda. People say, I want the church to grow, but they won't lift a finger to win the souls of the lost of the community. We'll recruit our favorite friends and we'll try to attract those that we like to hang around, and we'll try to invite our friends and family and ex-church members. But what about that person that's still on dope that needs deliverance from drugs and alcohol? We don't want to talk to them. We don't want that kind in our church. I didn't plan to preach like this. I promise I didn't plan to preach like this. Oh, but God's going to have to rip our religiosity out of our spirits and teach us to love the unlovable, to reach the hopeless and the helpless, and put our stinking agendas aside. Are we any better than the filth of this world? No, we were not, but for the grace of God. Oh, God, help us to get a fire in our soul and refuse to let religion coach us out of reaching those that make us uncomfortable. Oh, God, help us. Whoo! Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, he told Moses, that was his name, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amy, there's still people in Egypt. We got church folk that's still in Egypt. But more importantly, if they're washing the blood, God's going to keep them. They're going to be in hell. I'm worried about those still literally in Egypt, those Egyptians, metaphorically, that don't even know the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. While the church is going in maintenance mode to do for us and ours, the world knows nothing. There are children in our community that don't even know the appropriate use of the word Jesus. They use it more as a byword than as a worship. Hollywood has taught them that Jesus Christ is a cuss word. You've heard people use it in that way. And I've literally heard of children growing up saying, I thought Jesus Christ was a cuss word, and somebody shared the gospel, they got saved. See, if hell can preach to this generation a wrong version of Jesus, then why aren't we out there to counterbalance that and say the world's got Jesus wrong? Let me tell you who he really is. Can somebody say amen? He's calling us unto something. Calling is not just a direction, but it is a defining destiny that gives us our identity in Christ. Once God calls you, he's got an agenda for you. Number three, I want to look at the called according to. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to, fill in the blank, his purpose. According to his purpose. His purpose. His purpose. Sister Amy troubles me a lot because it makes my flesh uncomfortable. Did I say that out loud? I said what you were thinking but wasn't willing to verbalize. God's calling often makes us uncomfortable. But ain't that what this flesh needs? To be whipped into subjection to the will of God. Paul said, I beat my body. What he's talking about is I got to drag that thing around and make it do what God called me to do, because it does not cooperate very easily. And we have been taught in this culture, feed the flesh, comfort the flesh, protect the flesh, protect your time, protect your mind, protect your peace, protect your this, protect your that. Self-preservation is what we're taught. And Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword. I ain't worried about you preserving your life. And I'm not worried about preserving my life, not on this day, because we got souls to win. And church, it will cost you if you want to actually build a church the Bible way. You'll have to invest your time, your talent, and your treasures extensively to see God. And you might not win but one family in 30 years. And you'll have to say to God, "What you want Bible on that? Okay, Noah preached for 120 years, just won his family." And we measure success by how many people respond and attend and join and give. God measures success by faithfulness. This is what I'm talking about. Established. I shall not be moved. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm going to flourish because I'm planted. I'm established. And ain't no devil in hell going to move me. Only person can move me is the rock. And I'll just move when he moves. And rocks don't move very easy. I'm talking about established. Settled. Make up your mind. A non-negotiable posture to the will of God. And it all starts with the call. Do you hear him calling? Do you hear him calling? 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 27, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, in case you get to feeling good about yourself, amen, not many noble are called. This is so humbling for me. But God hath chosen the foolish things. Got it, Lord. For we get too high-minded. God said, I choose foolish things and I chose you. Put the two together. I chose the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. We like strength. We like dignity. We like character. We like all that high stuff. Living like we're somebody. And God says, lest you forget where I brought you from. I scrape you right up off the bottom of hell itself to save you. Amen. We are nothing without him. He is calling us, and he constantly reminds us, it's not us. It's him. So before we get too good for other people, too good to fellowship with them, too good to call them, too good to hang out with them, too good to sit at the same table in the fellowship hall with them, too good to ask them to come back to church because we hope they don't come back because of the way they look, smell, or think, or act. Before we get too high and mighty, maybe we need to get in the altar and repent of our dirty, rotten attitudes if we ever get that way. God forbid. I pray the Holy Ghost rebukes everything that don't look like Jesus in my life and helps me adjust. I want him. Paul said that I may know him. Power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Can't have one without the other. So the calling is not based on our ability. Say, well, I would do that, but God knows I can't do that. God knows we don't got that. God knows we don't have the money. God knows that God knows he called you. Can you just say, yes, sir, and let God put the ground beneath you as you walk? It's called faith. If we're really established in God, then we are trusting God with our blinders on. We're ignoring the optics of our natural way of thinking. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Man's logic will never come into full agreement with the faith that is required to serve God, because faith doesn't make natural sense. God will ask you to do things that don't make sense on paper. God will ask you to give in ways that you wonder, hey, Lord, if I give this, I won't be able to buy groceries this week. He said, God wouldn't do that, would he? What about the little widow lady that gave all she had, even all her living, the Bible said? That tells me she put her grocery money in the basket and Jesus honored her and gave her an eternal memorial for it. Don't tell me God won't ask of you anything and everything. Nothing is off the table. And this is to be established in the Lord, is to literally come to the Lord with this posture. Lord, in my life, there is nothing that's off the table. You want it, you got it. Just speak the word. Lord, not, my career, my motives, my intentions, my free time, my ambitions, my bass boat, whatever you want, Lord. I want to see souls saved. I want to see Jesus glorified, and I want to take more to heaven with me than I send to hell because of my silence. Whew. Judges 6:14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Remember that story? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. But what did God do? God raised him up and used him anyway. Reduced his army to win the victory. He didn't add to it. You say, I'm waiting on more strength. I'm waiting on more money. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting. If we would do this, but we got to do this. I used to pray like this. Lord, I do this, but I ain't got the money. And God's trying to teach me how to quit talking to him about the money and start talking to him about the Messiah. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, Jesus is our source. Amen. I gotta hurry. But listen, before God ever establishes anything in your life, he establishes why you exist, and that is to glorify him. Don't ever forget that. Philippians 3:14 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have to press towards it. There's a reason it's phrased like that. It doesn't come easy. It's like running a race. I don't run races very often because I'm a fat boy and I don't run very easy. It's hard work. Did you know the serving God's about like this fat boy trying to run a marathon? It's hard work to surrender to self every single day because your flesh don't give up. It shows up like it never heard you. You can rebuke it 10,000 times, and tomorrow it'll ignore everything you ever said to it. Say, now, here you go. Have this forbidden fruit. Act like it never heard you. Oh, don't you want to sleep just a little more? Don't you want to drink just a little more? Don't you want to smoke just a little more? Don't you want to gossip just a little more? Go ahead and say that. Say it. Holy Ghost saying, don't say it. And you're like, but it feels so good to talk about people. And I enjoy the juice of gossip. And the meantime, the whole time the Holy Spirit saying, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. And yet your flesh is like, please say it. Please say it. Please say it. And you're so used to feeding your flesh that you generally, and I generally give in. And God's teaching us how to be established. Heart, soul, mind, strength, body, mouth, everything. We got to press. So don't drift. Don't guess. Don't assume. Just answer the call. Say, yes, Lord. You cannot hold the fort if you've never answered the call to stand in it per the will of God for your life. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you today, and I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want you to be discouraged from surrendering to the Lord. So tell you what, why don't we just pray together? And if you need to kneel on the altar, I'm not going to make no bad assumptions about you. We all need work, but maybe we should just humble ourselves before the presence of the Lord and ask him, show us, Lord, whatever might need to be fixed and settled so that we never fall into that trap again. So He's calling us in. He's calling us closer.
What a great teaching from Pastor Gary today on True North. We currently are going through a series called Established. It touches on themes found in 1 Peter 5:10. In case you need a reminder about the verse that this series is based on, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So as you continue listening to what Pastor Gary has to share, this verse can provide insight into the bigger picture. Speaking of the bigger picture, we'd love to help you understand more fully what it means to know and live for Jesus. To get more information, you can go to GaryCottle.com. Email is a great option too. Email contact at Gary, CAUDILL.com. Has today's message been a blessing to you in a personal way? If so, we'd love to partner with you in ministry, so that these messages can stay on the air, blessing all those who would hear. To take that next step, you can send a donation by check to Gary Cottle Ministries, 1112 Old Washington Road, Thompson, Georgia, 30824. Thank you. This has been True North.